Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff or management of the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
You can't do drugs before you come in and wait tables.
Yeah.
Victor always looked miserable, and Christos is sitting there, and he used to do this, and he'd rub his nose like that and drink his espresso. And he looks over and he goes, "You know, Victor, I would like to crack your head like an egg."
December, you're still in the quote holidays, you know, you're
for sure.
You're selling, you know, things that have to do with turkey, you know, and then in January, better not serve turkey.
No.
When did the culinary itch start for you?
Never.
Not the answer I was thinking.
When people started trying our food, they were like, "I have to have this every day." And that was really, you know, the inertia that we needed to just kind of keep it going.
Welcome to the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
You define yourself by your actions and what you do. And I really wanted to be able to accomplish all the things that I wanted to do without a filter from someone else.
Here's your host, John Engelman.
I came in specially for this.
Did you really?
I did.
Well, thank you. Welcome to this week's episode of the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast. So glad that you're here. And we've got a great one for you today. We interview Paula Henry, actually, Paula Jo Chitty Henry. Don't want her mom getting mad at me. Anywho, Paula and her husband Fred are the owners at Crepes by Paulette in Bentonville and now in Fayetteville. Paula's family moved to Northwest Arkansas in the 80s, and after graduating college, she moved to New York, where she met her husband Fred, and they moved to his native France, where they had their kids. They wanted to raise their kids in Bentonville, so they moved back and needed to find something for work. They decided on something that no one else was doing, crepes, and away they went. They started with a food truck, which was not their original plan, and you'll love Paula's story about this. She'll talk about the transition from food truck to restaurant and even expansion, as they recently opened in Fayetteville, but again, not their original plan. We'll learn about the menu, so much variety, from savory to sweet, and sweet and savory. Also, sippable soups. We'll hear why they're sippable. And for those of you out there thinking about opening a food truck, she's got some invaluable advice for you all. And finally, what are their future plans? She'll tell you next, right here on the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas.
Let me show you something.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Alrighty, welcome back. As promised, we are on location at Crepes by Paulette in Bentonville, and we're here with the owner, Paula Henry, or co-owner.
Co-owner,
is that accurate?
Yes, and I will say my full name is Paula Jo Chitty Henry, and I say that because my mom gets mad at me. We're locals, and if I don't mention my maiden name,
okay,
I hear it from my mother.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I don't know, that would have been a mouthful, and for someone that's not totally aware.
Right.
Well, first off, thank you. I know we're in a packed restaurant right now. People are moving and grooving, and I know it's a work day for you. Do you have any days off?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not back there right now cooking. I came in specially for this.
Did you really?
I did.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I just destroyed your day off, so here we go.
No.
let's jump into it. Really interested in your story, because it's got kind of an international twist to it, and for me, that really kind of sucks me in. So you said you're originally from here.
So I'm an Iowan to begin with.
Okay.
But I moved down here with my family in 80. So I went to high school here, and then I went to Hendricks College, which is also in Arkansas.
Sure.
And then I kind of left for everywhere else, but my family was still here. And so when my husband and I had kids, that's when we wanted to be back near family and ended up back here.
Okay. Well, and you, gosh, you had kids in New York. You had lived in France. I mean,
so we met in New York. We had kids in France.
Okay.
And so, yes, I'm the only one in my family now who doesn't have two, you know, passports. But hopefully, I'll fix that one of these days.
Awesome.
And yeah, we moved back here when they were very young.
Okay.
2 years and 6 months.
Okay.
And my whole family lives here, so
that's
it
great.
Was just where we wanted to be when the kids came. As many people will say.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Of course. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that background. What part of your background, when did the culinary itch start for you?
Never.
Not the answer I was thinking.
No. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that, but when we moved back here, it really was born out of a need to figure out what we wanted to do here. You know, we kind of got a, you know, came out of order.
Okay.
We came back because the kids came.
Sure.
We didn't come back for a job and then bring the kids into the equation.
Sure.
So we came back to be near the family, and I had always known that this place was, you know, it's kind of like a powder keg.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
Sure.
There was before I left, and then, you know, every time I would come back and visit, it would just have been exploded in one other area or another. And so I knew there was a lot going on and that it would be a good place to find a future, let's say.
Sure.
And so it was, Crepes Paulette was really born out of that. We were looking for something to do. We both loved to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, with his French background, had grown up not cooking crepes, oddly, but eating them his whole life.
Sure.
And it just, with the atmosphere that was happening at that time, this is around 2008.
Okay.
You know, Crystal Bridges was on the horizon.
Sure.
And we're like, where are all these people going to eat?
That's
literally
a great question.
there were
for sure
five restaurants in town. You know, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but
felt like it.
Yeah. And it was obvious that this was going to be have an enormous impact on this area, Crystal Bridges.
Sure.
And it already had, you know, we already have Walmart and we already have Tyson and all those things bringing people internationally. And so this felt like it was just going to be a culminating moment for bringing all sorts of other influences to the area. And so we decided to try something that we didn't see anybody else doing. Didn't foresee anybody else trying it. And, you know, we had the special connection through France. And oddly enough, we thought we wanted to start a restaurant, and the banks all said no. So
amazing how that happens.
It is. But we always talk about it as we're happy they did, because what we did was we scaled back our plans. We started a food truck, which there weren't any at this time. We were the first ones.
Wow.
So we didn't know if that part of it would work. But the great thing about it was that it allowed us to figure out our concept. You know, we had an idea, sort of a nebulous idea. And by scaling it back and just operating the two of us, it gave us time to figure things out as we went and not have everything at stake, you know, not have tens of thousands of dollars.
Sure.
You know, for
it gives you the opportunity to stub your toe, but it's only stubbing your toe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And man, we stubbed our toe a lot. But
you're still walking, though.
Yeah, exactly. And we had a really welcoming and forgiving community that sort of took the journey with us, you know, and allowed us to go slowly and, you know, gave us good feedback and supported us. And it was just really, really a positive start to something, and that allowed us to grow into what we eventually became.
So obviously Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas and a lot of transplants, but did you feel like with the crepes concept you had to do some educating the public about it?
Well, it's funny because everybody knows crepes.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
They've heard of them, and it is one of those things that almost every cuisine you can think of has some sort of flat bread dish. And so it was, I think what really was a positive for us is that everybody knew what a crepe was, but then they came and they saw a Frenchman serving it. And so it's easy to take a leap of faith.
Sure.
At that point, you know.
They're like, it's authentic. Here we go.
Yeah,
right?
They must know what they're talking about.
Perfect.
So, and the funny thing is that I ended up cooking, not
okay.
Fred.
Right.
He's never made a crepe.
So. Seriously? Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to know now.
Yeah.
Maybe
not. So we initially thought we were going to do like a trade-off, you know. This is how unprepared we were for the first night.
Sure.
We were like, okay, you'll cook for 30 minutes and I'll cook for 30 minutes.
The build-up had to make you hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But then after 30 minutes, I had started cooking, and after 30 minutes, I looked at the row of, you know, 30 tickets I had.
Wow.
And I thought, there's no way I can tell Fred what I've learned in these first 10 tickets I've made.
Right.
And so we just stuck that way for that night, and then it just never changed after that. It was
wow.
It was always, and we always talk about how glad we are that happened, because mm-hmm. he's really a natural people person.
Sure.
He's never met a stranger mm-hmm. and loves to talk to people, and not that I don't love to talk to people, but I'm much more at home at the Crepe Griddle.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Gosh. So the success of the food truck, I guess, reached a point to where you're like, it's time to grow up. It's time to get bigger.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it is. It's very limiting. You know, we had room for exactly two griddles, mm-hmm. and then you know, then you also are impacted by weather.
That's
be it
true.
Winter or be it hot, hot, hot summer.
Right.
And so that started being trickier, because you can't. It's hard to be consistent when you have to factor all those unknowns in.
Sure.
And so we decided to open this and keep the food truck, mm-hmm. which we did for an additional, I think, 4 years.
Okay.
But it was only 6 blocks away. And so a lot of things converged, and we ended up closing it in 2020, right before the pandemic.
Boy, great timing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other factor in all of that is that since we opened it, now there are food trucks on every corner.
Of course.
So, you know, it's time to sort of move away from that and let everybody else, not everybody else, but, you know, turn over that to somebody else. Because what food trucks are specifically really good for is mm-hmm. incubating.
Without question.
And so that's, we're really happy that we were able to do that. And that's exactly the way it worked for us. You know, we didn't know what we were doing when we started, but we were able to do it just the two of us. And we operated that way for, I don't know, a good 6 months until we sort of caught a gear. And then after that, you know, we just, there's something great about being super, super busy and having a line of people. But then after a while, you know, you start going, it's really nerve-wracking not to be able to serve these people more quickly.
Sure.
So it was time. It was time. Yeah. And a lot of people really miss the food truck, because it was its own special moment, you know. It was Saturday mornings when the farmers market was blowing up, you know, and people would come down and get in line, and there'd just be a party going on in line.
Heck yeah.
Everybody there with their kids and their dogs and their pigs and their horses. I just posted something online about somebody was in line with a horse, and I'd totally forgotten about that. I have a great picture.
What a great picture.
Yeah, I'll just show it to you. It's really great. And so it's, you know, only in Arkansas to a certain extent, but it's also sort of a universal thing.
Sure.
So a lot of people really remember it fondly, you know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people that still come into the store but reminisce with us about the food truck.
Of course. Well, let's talk about this. This is a natural segue.
Yes.
You get to the point where you're like, we've got to be able to, I guess, serve people faster.
Right.
But we're growing, and we've got to continue to grow. The momentum's here. Let's move forward and open up a spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And we decided that, you know, because most people, there is something that we do have to explain, or I try to mention in all of our social media and advertisements, is that we've maintained that fast casual mm-hmm. aspect of what we served in the food truck, because a lot of people's first thought of crepes is something very fancy, you know, and
sure.
plated and whipped creams and sauces and things
the
like
accent
that.
The accent sells it for me right
yes.
there, right?
But because we started in the food truck, I didn't want to have paper plates. I wanted it to be something that was handheld.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with the format, the way that we serve them, and it just worked so well.
Yeah.
that we decided we weren't going to change anything about it when we moved here. And we just sort of modified how we deliver it, but it's all still handheld. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really served us well. You know, we're not trying to be something we're not. We're not fancy. I always say French, not fancy, because we're not like that. We like the casual sort of lighthearted atmosphere mm-hmm. that existed at the food truck. And so we just sort of transferred that here. And, you know, we've added a few other things, but we've kept that core handheld crepe business very central to the plan.
So how do you grow up? What's the step? Obviously, you open a restaurant, but do you expand the menu? You've got more room to prepare? You hire a staff? It seems like it would be a big leap.
We did, but oddly not that much. I mean, we have soups now. We have crepe cakes now. We obviously have, you know, wines and mimosas and ciders and things like that. We've got espressos and lattes, but the core crepes, it's amazing what a selection we had, even just at the food truck. But we've expanded it somewhat, but in order to maintain sort of the speed that we try to operate at, we are very, very closed about how far we expand it. You know, we get all kinds of suggestions about what we should put in a crepe, and
I'm sure
we'll take them. And I'll try to figure out how it
can work. I wish everyone could see your face right now.
It's just we do have to, it's got to work within our parameters.
Sure.
And so that's been something we've done, is try to stick with what works within that and not stray too far afield. Because it's got to stay within our concept. You know, I don't want to say, I really want to serve this. Okay, so let's start plating our crepes, or let's plate that one, or... We really don't do that. We try to stick with our original concept and just expand within that. So that's meant a few new ingredients, and we will do some specials sometimes. We've expanded, for instance, the number of sauces we have and things like that that don't change things fundamentally.
Sure.
But we've stuck pretty close to our original menu items,
yeah.
And then just sort of we tweak them.
And we'll get into the menu in the next segment, but that's awesome. Please tell me the wildest suggestion.
You put me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I would say that...
a wild one.
Right. Well, not a wild one, but what we get now is, you know, we have maybe, 25... 30 options on, ingredients on our menu.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because we have online ordering,
sure,
people will go on there and they'll just basically click all of them. And so sometimes we'll find ourselves at the griddle trying to put, 30 different ingredients
on a crepe.
Here's your
14-pound crepe.
Exactly, which is funny. I mean, we've got some photos of that kind of thing, and I remember doing one where I had to, pre-make the ingredients in bowls so I would have time to put them on before the crepe...
Oh, my gosh.
...the crepe burned to death. But, you know, I get it. It's like a food challenge. It's like, you know... Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, it's the old man versus food, right?
Yeah,
the old TV one. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. Well, expansion again.
Yep.
Fayetteville, going down to Washington County. What was the thought about getting down there, and when did you think that now is the time for us to do that?
Well, to be honest with you, we were getting very close to that before the pandemic.
Okay.
Right before the
sure.
pandemic. You know, we were closing the food truck, and we thought, okay, now's the time. We're going to think about the next one. And we mm-hmm. looked at various places. We hadn't really decided on anything. And honestly, Fayetteville wasn't on the radar. We were thinking of Kansas City. We wanted to try a bigger market,
okay.
Because we really are trying to do a fast casual model. And we thought, try to find some places maybe got more foot traffic mm-hmm. or something like that. And then the pandemic came, and, basically all of us were just pulling in the shutters and
Surviving,
mm-hmm. And so that took us, that took a good two and a half years
sure.
to get through and then mm-hmm. also get back on our feet.
Yeah.
And so at that point, we were you know, we've maybe come to terms with, let's try something a little closer to home Kansas City. And so there are quite a few restaurants that have done multiple locations in this area.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it kind of, you know, made sense to us to try something like that. Yeah. And one good thing is that as a crepe restaurant in Northwest Arkansas, we don't have a lot of competition.
Right. Fair.
So we thought, you know, Fayetteville's sort of the other end of this metropolis that we've got.
The corridor.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah.
And so that seemed to be the logical place to put things to meet, you know, to reach the most people. Mm-hmm. And we love Fayetteville. I mean, Fayetteville's a great town, and it's got a totally different feel to it than Bentonville does, mm-hmm. and which we're still figuring out. It's funny. You do still have to sort of understand the market and make adjustments, small adjustments. But so far, so good. You know, it's enough people down there knew us from here.
Mm-hmm.
Because, once again, of Crystal Bridges, you know, people... When I went to high school here, which was, I don't even want to talk about
last year.
Yeah. Fayetteville was a big town.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big night out on the weekend. You would drive from Bentonville to Fayetteville, and nobody from Fayetteville ever came up to Bentonville.
Sure.
But now there's a reason, you know, or multiple reasons, you know, because Bentonville's got so many draws. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people knew us from coming up to Bentonville.
Well, and a lot of people from Washington County work up here.
Right. Exactly.
And so I would think that would work in the favor as well.
Yes.
Judging
yes.
by the traffic, of course.
Yes. And so you know, we were lucky in that a good number of people already knew us mm-hmm. when we went down there. So that helps.
So what's it been like really building, and I know this is kind of, you've kind of explained most of this, but building a brand from the ground up to where you are now, what has that been like kind of on a higher scale for you guys?
Okay, well, I'm going to admit something to you.
Uh-oh.
Until probably a year ago, we were flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay.
I didn't have an overview. I mean, I did sort of when we started out, I was thinking what it could be. Mm-hmm. I was envisioning that, but that wasn't an end point I was trying to get to. I did think if we can do it right, I think people will love this. That's basically as far as it went.
Sure.
In terms of planning it, just because we were really operating on a shoestring. We were really making it up as we went along. And I think that when we, after the pandemic, started turning our attention again to expanding mm-hmm. is when I started to think more about what the brand is, mm-hmm. what that means, and... you know, how going forward that could look.
Because you were taking it out of its nest, basically.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
And Fayetteville, one of the reasons we wanted to do Fayetteville is because we're trying to figure out if it can be something that can be reproduced
mm-hmm.
More easily. You know, when we moved from the food truck, which was we made up as we went along too, then we moved here, it was... once again on a shoestring, and we sort of found this location and made it work, whereas the one in Fayetteville was a little more, we took it and made it into what we wanted. It was more of a kind of a clean, empty box that we've figured out how to make it. And the funny thing is now that, you know, right after getting that up on its feet, I'm like, I want another one right now because I see all the things now that I want to do differently.
Right.
So, you know, there's a little bit of a snowball effect to that whole idea. Is like if you're in that mindset of wanting to make it work better, you still have to fit within the confines of whatever's happening at the moment.
Of
but you're, if you're thinking ahead along those lines, all that stuff is still in the back of your head, you know, kind of churning. And
you know, downtown Springdale's happening now. I know.
No,
that's good. Well, I'll tell you what, we've been dancing around the menu, so let's talk about that next. Sound good?
Yes.
All right. Well, we will have more on Flavors of Northwest Arkansas coming up right after this.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did, And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
OrganDonor.gov, in case you skipped through the PSA, you know I say it every week, and I will say it every week. OrganDonor.gov. It's of absolute zero consequence to you to be able to put that on your driver's license, donor. Please do it. It saves so many people. I get people that I talk to say, oh, they're not going to want anything from me. Oh, my liver's bad, my everything, I can't see. Let the doctor decide that. OrganDonor.gov. And welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. I know we stole you off of your off day to come back in here
and do this. All days are on days and off days.
Yeah, well,
that's the way I look at it.
That's true. I guess it has to be when it's your own business, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about crepes in general.
Okay.
I know crepe restaurants, we talked a little bit about this in the break, they're growing around the U.S., and you've firmly taken hold of that here in Northwest Arkansas. How did you guys decide on crepes?
Okay, so the backstory of that is that my husband, being from France, grew up eating crepes his whole life, and he would buy them at the local bakery, because in France you can buy a stack of sweet crepes that you take home and you heat up with jam and you eat like that. But mm-hmm. he also had a housekeeper slash nanny named Madame Poupon. Who made a gross of crepes every week. Now, if you don't know what a gross is, it's a dozen.
Okay.
So 144.
Oh, I was thinking 24. Oh.
No, 144. And so she did that every Sunday for all of her friends and family. So he grew up eating Madame Poupon's crepes, which is why when we had the food truck, her name was Madame Poupon.
No way.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And so that was something we thought we could translate into a business that was controllable for us. You know, we're not, we're foodies to a certain extent, but neither of us are chefs. And I never stop saying that, because there are so many wonderful chefs in this area, mm-hmm. and we definitely don't call ourselves that. But we're entrepreneurs. And so that idea of having a crepe that could expand into a lot of different things and to be many things to many people sort of fit into that mold, but it was something that was controllable too, and wouldn't have to be reinvented every time.
Right.
Sort of like a sandwich. I mean, a sandwich is basically what we're going for.
Yeah.
Something that you can fill with many different things to please many different people. And but what we did that I think is unique to our crêperie is we not only did the sweet crepe that most people are familiar with, if you go to streets of Paris, that's what you're going to find, is, you know, a sweet crepe with Nutella and strawberries and chocolate and things like that, which we do. But we also added something that is very unique to where my husband grew up, which is Brittany, the northwest corner of France.
That's where crepes were invented in 1300, right?
You could be right.
I did research.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, that could be it. Now, the story I know, and who knows if this is true.
You're telling me Google lied to me? How dare they?
Google has many faces.
Well, that's true.
So my understanding is, and you may be onto something there, but my understanding is that crepes with a nice white flour were all the rage. But the farmers in Brittany, which was a very poor area, they couldn't grow, neither could they import the white flour, this very refined flour, to make the crepes they were making in Paris, but they also couldn't grow it there. And one of the things that grows there is buckwheat. And so they developed the buckwheat crepe, which now has come full circle and is very boutique, you know, but back then it was like poor farmer's food. It was poor farmer's food, but it was the same form, cooked on the griddles, and what you could put inside of it. So Fred concocted a recipe, you know, he kind of came up with his own, that was a very traditional recipe, no eggs, no flour, because we had a son who had a lot of allergies, so we wanted to be able to offer him something Now, don't tell anybody, but he wouldn't eat this for, you know, years and years and years.
Nobody's listening.
Yeah. but it's a very unique crepe. Even in Brittany, there's very few places that do this with no egg or no flour and no dairy. And so, but we wanted to do that for our son, and it has sort of developed into this really niche boutique food for many people who come here and can eat because they have allergies or whatever, they can eat because we offer this buckwheat crepe.
And it's just a great segue into the menu. Mm. And let's talk, but before we get like knee deep into the menu here, any of the items on the menu inspired from like family, friends, anything like that?
Well, there's one that's on there. We consistently talk about changing the name of it because if you don't know, you don't know. It's the KUAF, which is
the KUAF radio station.
Is a yeah. radio station. Yeah. And when we were first starting out, they approached us about making, it was some event they were doing, and they wanted us to make a crepe in honor of that.
Okay.
And we came up with this one that just has always stayed very, very popular, and we kept it named the KUAF because that's what it's always been. But we always, like, you know, every time we make the menu again, we're like, do we need to change that?
People won't know what it is.
I know. You'd have to alert them. You'd have to have some big sign on there saying, formerly the KUAF. But it's just, you know, it's
very
stuck.
Local.
It's very local. But it's really good, too. And a lot of people just, you know, eat it every time they come. So
That's great. I'm sure KUAF appreciates that.
Yes. Well,
good
I hope
folks
so.
There. Yeah. all the inspiration in the menu, Italian, Mexican, Thai. I think you've got most of the world available in your crepes.
Oh, there's still a few.
Okay.
We're always thinking.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, we do, you know, we have, what helps is having different sauces. So
sure.
We have a basic sort of grid of ingredients, you know, the chicken, the ham, the salami, things like that. And then we just try to tweak them a little bit to make them special. For the Thai, we have this fantastic peanut sauce that we use.
Yum.
And, that we make. And we add a little bit of fresh cilantro to that, you know. Ooh. So there are some things that we have one ingredient that doesn't go for, isn't used on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few of those, but those sort of little tweaks are how we make each one special.
Yeah.
So, you know, for instance, the pesto and the salsa, we'll use them now on several different things because they kind of can multi-purpose,
mm-hmm.
but they lend themselves to a lot of different tastes. And, you know, from there you can kind of, the sky's the limit. You know, we get all sorts of crazy requests, you know, people wanting pesto on their Thai, you know, with the peanut sauce, and who are we to say?
Hey, all yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
That's right. So.
So much variety on the menu. Sweet, breakfast, soup. I mean, it feels, it's a huge menu.
It is. It's a little unwieldy. Yeah, we every time we say we're going
to... By the way, I mean that in an incredibly positive way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. We do talk about limiting it because it can get overwhelming. It's like going into the Cheesecake Factory, you know, and you have to open a book and it takes you a while to get through it.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
You know, the minute we remove something, we get lots of pushback.
Right.
And so there's, you know, we probably do need to figure out how to list them a little differently. So
sure.
that's on the horizon is something okay. that we're going to tweak a little bit
right.
too. But every one of them is popular in its own way. So it's
which
it's
is
like,
great.
It's like giving up an old friend
I
if
know.
You try to kick something off the menu.
Which
so.
Is great. And you had talked about a little bit earlier after the food truck and opening up here, adding things like the soups.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The soups look great.
Well, we really love the soups, and it's amazing how popular they are. We do. Once again, we tried to find a sort of unique way to do it, and so we do all velouté, which is smooth soups. So we serve them in cups to be drunk.
Sure.
And that's a particular style in France that hasn't really made it over here too much.
Yeah.
And so we kind of went took that and ran with it, and people love it. It's and it lends itself as a drinkable soup. It sort of lends itself to that fast casual, where you can do it on the go. You know, you can eat your crepe in the car if you have to. You can drink your soup in the car if you have to. And so
about that. I mean, when people come in and order soup and they're not aware, is there an education involved with
that? Okay, once again, I do try to talk about it as sippable soup.
Okay.
And yeah, that's the name of it. So, but yeah, some people express surprise.
Okay.
But usually when they taste it, it's not a problem.
That's great. Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'll have to give you some samples.
Hey, absolutely. I'm in. You don't have to tell me twice. So there's probably somebody out there listening who is thinking about this growing area, and they're seeing the food trucks out there, and they're thinking, I've got an idea. I really want to open up a place. I think it would work here. I don't see this here. What would you tell them?
Dramatic pause. So many things.
Dramatic pause.
So many things. Get a good location.
Yeah.
When we first started, our vision of it was we'll have a schedule and move around different places. Maybe people have more mobile food trucks than we did. You know, ours was actually a trailer, not a food truck. And so it was quite an ordeal to move it in and out. And though we did that every week for a while, because we were only doing the food truck, the farmer's market, and the First Friday events on the downtown square, it's not what works best. What works best is being in one place, and then another very key element is have a schedule and stick to it. Don't post, sorry, we can't be here today. Just be there.
Yeah.
Even if it's 40 degrees or 30 degrees, if you said you're going to be open, you got to be open. And you may be serving.
Does this come from an instance?
Not many instances.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because it was something we really committed to, and
sure.
I firmly believe that it's because that's why we had the growing business that we did, because you have to do what you say you're going to do, and even if you end up making 10 crepes that day on that very cold day or that rainy day, you were there for those 10 people, and they're going to remember that next time when they're thinking about what to eat. And they're, you know, if it's raining the next time they think of it, they're not going to have to say, I wonder if they're open.
Right.
They're going to go and know you're open.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that food trucks, that's a mistake that food trucks make sometimes, is inconsistency just of being open.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so simple. But it's it can be a real tripping up. It can really trip you up if you don't commit to it, because people will get used to that and they'll choose to go somewhere else if they don't know you're open.
Of course,
there's too many options out there.
For sure. Well, now.
Yeah. Right.
Especially now.
Right.
Thoughts for the future, for you guys.
Anything
you care to divulge is what I should probably.
Well, we would love to see more Crepes Paulettes. I think we're still in the formative years. I think we have a lot to lock down because it does increase your work exponentially. You know, the second location is not twice the work. It feels like five times the work. And I think that's probably because we haven't locked some things down. You know, our procedures are not tied in yet, and
right.
Part of that is because both of these locations are so unique. But going forward, I guess your hope is that each time you do it a little bit more is going to be closer to some sort of good center.
It feels like there's a fine line between uniformity and making each restaurant its own.
Yes, I think you're right about that. I do think you're right about that. But I think that if you do it right, maybe there's a way to sort of have the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, it can still have its own personality, but consistency, which is the key to so many things, can still be there. And, I'm thinking along the fast food mode, just where, so much is locked down so that it's not a question for people. And they know that consistency is going to be there. And then all the other stuff is what you can build onto it and make it more special.
Awesome. Wow. This time flew by quickly. And that's to you. Thank you for that
very much.
Thank
you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Where can folks find you?
We are on 8th Street in Bentonville, 100 Southwest 8th Street, and on College in Fayetteville, 2341 North College in Fayetteville.
Okay.
And then we're on all the, you know, Instagram, Facebook, not X yet, but...
It's all hard to figure out.
It is. So Instagram, Facebook, those are the two. And then we have our website. You can always go to our website and click from there.
Awesome. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're just kind of stopping there, I guess, for now. flavorsofnwa@gmail.com. Again, feel free to throw some comments our way. Let us know if you have a place that is in the food and beverage scene that you'd like to see on here. Paula, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much. It was really my pleasure.
And always, remember, please tip your servers. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.